right. How's everybody this morning? All right. I'm going to tell you, I feel good to be here. Last week, I was gone. I appreciate those stepping up and taking care of things. Dan sharing God's word and all the worship team, everybody that takes care of the place while I'm gone. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like being home. Anybody? You know, I had a great time. I got to see my daughter-in-law graduate basic camp from the Army, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Not only did she graduate, but I was going to tell Dell earlier, she got promoted to first class, private first class. That day, my son got to pin his wife for private first class. And so it was an exciting time and an exciting experience. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm home. There's nothing like being home when during these times. And I love church. Just so you know, when I'm gone, I go to church, all right? You need to know that. When I'm gone, I was sitting there thinking about it as I was writing the message. I'm serious. I do not think there's been more than 10 times since I became a Christian that I have not been in church on a Sunday. I just go. We're on vacation. I go to church. We're on vacation. We've been married 15 years. We're in Hawaii. I get up and I go out. They have a dining cruise ship. They take out, sing, and do church on the dining ship. So I went out, rode a bus at 6 in the morning with some very interesting people at 6 in the morning on a bus. And I went to church. I go to Texas. I go to church. I go to Oklahoma. I go to church. I go to North Carolina. I go to church. I go to Vancouver. I go to church. I go to San Francisco when I'm going to school. I go to church. I just always go to church. I love church. I had a great time. We're driving, getting ready to go to our last hotel Saturday night. We're driving to our hotel, and then around the corner, driving down this freeway, I look over and I see the sign that says Fellowship Church. Now, just so you know, I listen to several preachers during the week. I got about 6 or 7 preachers I listen to. Andy Stanley Jr., Greg Rochelle, Ed Young Jr. Ed Young Jr. is called Fellowship Church. So I'm looking at this church, and our hotel is just around the corner. So I said, I guess where I'm going tomorrow. I tell my daughter, ride with me. So I go back to the hotel. I get my phone out, map it, right? You guys, anybody got their phone? You do map it, right? 3 miles away is this church. I think God set it up. Yeah. I go to this church just so you get an idea here. I park in one of the sections in their parking lot, all right? There must be like 20 sections. I'm parked in one of them, and it's the size of our property, the one section. All right. And it's real fun because they got a sign out in front of the door when you get into the fellowship, the entrance hall, bigger than our church is the entrance hall. The sign going into the worship center says, do not enter yet. You know, they don't open the church up until 10 minutes before service starts. You know, and maybe the worship team's in there practicing, 2-stage worship stage there, the band on top, cameras. Great experience. I love it. Lots of young people making decisions. See, I have this philosophy. It takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. All right? And I believe that. I've said this in this. If this church isn't for you, go somewhere else, but just go. But I hope it is for you, all right? I'll be honest. You know? And so we wrestle with this. And we wrestle with church. But it's just something I do. I can't imagine. You know, I go up, I'm going to pick my kids up. I take my kids back up. They spent the summer with us, so I take them back up to Vancouver, Washington. And it's Sunday morning. It's like, where are we going to church? You know, and they had 2 churches picked for me. My daughter's trying to go to a different church. She wanted some more programs for her kids, but the kids liked the other church. You know, and so I went to the one my daughter wanted to go to, but guess what church they're going to now, the ones the kids want to go to. You know, it's just, I enjoy church. It's fun and it's an enjoyable. So I got up, and just so you know, I don't go late, all right? Church starts at 10. I'm in their parking lot at 9. All right? And I'm walking around and looking at the church and having a great time. But I want to talk about church because part of the problem is when we go to church, sometimes things don't always work out well. I've been in church long enough. And that sometimes, anybody ever get hurt in church? You know, things happen. And so we're going to talk about it in this series. But before we talk about it, I want to kind of show you some pictures. Because I want to make sure you know, I don't have to go to church. Now my job says I have to. But I really don't have to go to church. When I'm on vacation, You know, I'm visiting my son in Georgia. I go to church. Why? You know, visit my son in North Carolina. Why? Why did I go to church? I'm on vacation. I'm in Hawaii. I love going to church. I love being in church. But it's not for everybody doesn't feel that way, does it? You know, maybe we have some friends that maybe have been hurt by church. Maybe we have some family that they feel, well, you're dragging me to church. Now, when I was 15, 16, I was dragged to church. Anybody in that boat? Yeah. My kids probably feel that way. There was never an option in my house. You're going to church. Yeah. And what's exciting now is they go to church. My son, not as much as I pray for him to go, but they go. But some people feel they have to. There's things we have to do. Those are things we enjoy doing. I enjoy going to Disneyland. I can't wait. I haven't talked to my wife yet, but we wanted to go in January. We didn't get to go. I'm going to try to go in June before I go up to Vancouver to see my granddaughter promote. I'm going to try to go down. I enjoy going to Disneyland. But lately, I've had to go to some place that's no fun, that I don't want to go. I've had to go to the anybody? Yeah. I got some pictures. What do you think about? How about this place? How many people enjoy going to this place? Come on. Anybody? If you enjoy going to this place, we get to see some counselors. I know some, okay? Yeah. I'm glad they do online. Anybody? Yeah. How about this next one? Anybody enjoy going to? That's my dentist office. I blocked out the logos and all of that. My dentist office. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in there lately, and I'm going to spend a lot more time. I've got some teeth that are missing, and they're trying to fix. How about this next one? How about shopping? Who likes to go grocery shopping? Oh, there's some hands. Oh, man. How many husbands, when your wife says, we got to go grocery shopping, jump out, I'm ready to go. Ah! Yeah. There's have to things, right? Yeah. We have to go get some groceries. All right. Yeah. We have to go. You know, how many got kids? You have to go to school, right? No more teachers, no more rulers, no more pencils, no more teachers, dirty looks. Come on. Yeah. There's things we have to do. But then there's other things we enjoy doing. What about these? What about this? What about this one right here? Anybody with this one right here? How many enjoy this one? It should come up in a minute. How many enjoy that place? Velvet Creamery. Come on now. All right. We enjoy going out to eat. You know, DMV, Velvet Creamery. How about this next one? How about this one right here? Perko's. Anybody ever go to Perko's? Come on now, you know. We're going to go out. You know, or how about this one? Yes! Yes! Taco Bell. Guess where I'm going for lunch? All right, I enjoy Taco Bell. I am so blessed. Just so you know, I feel bad for my wife. My wife has all sorts of allergies. She really didn't have them until she got older. But she's on this gluten-free kind of stuff. And you know who has a lot of gluten-free stuff? Taco Bell. I get to go to Taco Bell more now. Yeah? Well, we enjoy now. There's a difference. You know, we got DMV and some of these other places over here. And then you got restaurants over here. Now, we enjoy going to restaurants. There's an experience. We like the food. We enjoy the food. We get good service. We'll go on Yelp and say, man, I try this place, and we have this good experience. And so we go there because we get an experience, and we enjoy it, and then we have these have-to places. Now, what about this place? What do you think about this place? Now, I want to ask you, which category? Now, you got to be careful. Trick question. Flashing light. Trick question. All right. What about this? Is this place like the DMV? Or is it like a restaurant? Trick question. I hear better. You better say neither, all right? See, we go to a restaurant because we get what we want. We get what we like. They get good service. They cater to me. It's what I want. Is that why we go to church? Now, we know it's not like DMV. At least I hope it's not like DMV. Not a have-to place. But do we pick the church because it serves us? See, I think church falls into a different category. What do you guys think? You know, I think church is something different. It's not like going to restaurants where they're waiting on us to pick what we want and pick what we like and enjoy those things. Or it's not like DMV where we have to go. Now, I'm sure as teenagers, some of you probably have to go. Some of you probably brought your kids this morning and maybe they got up and said, "Do I have to go, Mom?" I know I did when I was a kid. But why? What's going on? And so we're going to look at this. And then what happens when things go wrong? What happens when something the pastor says hurts? Maybe the pastor said something wrong. I'm going to tell you, when I get up to preach, I know I'm going to make a mistake this morning. Hopefully it's going to be small. And most of you won't catch it. But we all. You know, what happens when somebody says something? What happens when somebody does something? What have hurt in church? How do we deal with that? You know, do we run? Do we hide? You know, the pastor offended me or somebody didn't shake my hand. Now, you need to know, I've been in churches where this happens. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you have been around some of that. How do we deal with that? So I'm going to preach these messages these next few weeks on what do you do when you've been hurt by church? How do we handle that? And so I'm going to share 3 weeks on that. But this morning, what I want to share is, I love my church. You need to know, I love going to church. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to go to church. I'll get up and go to church. I've been in big churches. I've been in small churches. I've been in Baptist churches, I've been in non-denominational churches, I've been in Pentecostal churches and heard people speak in tongues. You know, I go to church. It's part of who I am. Just so you know, I listen to 5 or 6 sermons. You know, I get to preach to you guys. You only get to hear 1 sermon a week. I'm listening to 5, 6, 7 sermons a week. I need to get preached at. And the best sermons I preach, so you need to know for me, the best sermons I ever preach is when I preach to myself. And today I get to talk about me. Good topic. Because I love church. I love getting around you people. You're my family. We're going to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about how can I love my church? But I want to kind of let you of church real quick. Now, I got a little section here in your outline. I encourage you to get your outline out. I didn't put any blanks in, but I want you to underline some things, maybe highlight some things, because I think the scriptures can speak without filling out any blanks in this section on the church. I want you to look at the church for a minute. What does it mean when I say the church? And so just pull out your little outline, follow along, and see what it says. Here's this first scripture here. And I tell you, now just so you know, let me put this in context. Jesus says, hey, who's everybody talking about? What's everybody saying about me? Who do they think I am? What's the stories? What's the rumors out there about me? Jesus is asking that question. Several people pop up with answers. Peter pops up and says, listen, you are the Christ, which means you're the Messiah, you're the Savior, you're the Son of the living God. And that's what Peter says. Peter responds that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Savior of the world. And then here's what Jesus says. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, that I am the Christ, the rock. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Jesus is God's Son. On this rock, I will build my church. Why don't you underline that? Highlight it, circle it, whatever you want to do. Mark it some way. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I want to say, whose church is, who built the church? Yeah. I kind of thought about this. Now some of you who are my age might remember a group called Peter, Paul, and Mary. Anybody? All right. See, I see some hands coming up. Well, I want to tell you, the church was, I'm not talking about that band group. I'm talking about Peter, Paul, and Mary in the Bible, all right? It wasn't their idea to start the church. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave. The guys get together and say, you know what? We're in this upper room, and yeah, I got an idea, Peter. Peter's going, I got an idea. We need to keep gathering together. We need to kind of, let's start a church. It didn't happen that way, all right? It wasn't Peter's idea. It wasn't Paul who came later. It wasn't Jesus' mother, Mary. The church began in the mind of God. It's God's idea. The church isn't some human institution. The church was built upon the fact that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I tell you, from my opinion, I'll be selfish. The church is for me. I need the church. I need to be here every Sunday. I need to be part of what's going on here. I enjoy the church. And that's what it is. He built the church for me and for you. But it's His church. It's who He planted, He started, He built. It's His us. So when you look at the church, it's not, well, some great idea that some religious leader had. It's God. And it's God built the church on the fact that He is the Son of the living God. So that's the first thing. So underline that. I build my church. The church is built. Whose church is it? I remember when I came, one of the guys was going to do it for us in our church, and he pulls into town, and he didn't find the church. He didn't know where it was. So he stopped some kids out wandering around, and they go, well, where's First Baptist Church? And they go, I don't know. And then he goes, well, do you know Gary? Oh, you mean Gary's church. They knew where Gary's church was. Because it is my church. I want this to be your church. You know what's exciting to me is to see these kids grow up and call this church my church. That's exciting. Because it's yours. It's mine. But who does it belong to? God. Because that brings me to my next point. Look at this one right here. And He is the head of the body, the church. Why don't you underline that? Head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in everything He might be permanent. Preeminent. He is the head of the church. I'm going to tell you, who's the head of this church? Don't look at Gary. That'd get me in trouble. God's the head of the church. I have never tried to be the head of the church. You can talk to some of the leaders in the church. Been here all the time I've been here. I have never asked. I'm the head of the church. I'm the pastor. This is what I said. This is what we're doing. I've never done that. That's not... I'm going to tell you, God is the head of this church. I am what I call the under-shepherd. You know who the shepherd is? It's Jesus. I'm under Him. I kind of see, some of you have been with me a while. You know who my favorite Bible character is, right? It's Moses, okay? In case you didn't know, Moses is my favorite Bible character. But I kind of see myself like a Moses. Now, I don't want to put myself on his stature because I'm not there. But Moses led the people of Israel. But where did he lead them? He led them where the fire and the cloud led. That's how I see myself. I'm leading as God directs. God, where are we going to do this? Where are we heading, God? What's going to happen? See, I'm not under... God's the head. Now, I've been in churches where there's people who thought they were the head. That's one of those hurt churches. Anybody? Come on, some of you, don't shake your head. You might give it away. Some of you could probably name somebody you remember. I remember so-and-so, you know, he... I got an idea. If you ever want to take the head of this church on, you do it. Because it ain't going to be me. You're going to have to deal with God. And I don't know, but God's pretty big. He's one I wouldn't want to take on. God is the head of the church. See, the church is built by Jesus Christ. It's built on Jesus Christ. And He is the head of the church. Look at this last verse here as we talk about the church. Now you might recognize this verse as we, for marriage. A lot of time I read this at weddings. Anybody? But it talks about the church. Husbands, love your wives. Ooh, I'll give a little plug. I'm going to do a sermon for... anybody know Valentine's Day is on Sunday? Guys? Valentine's Day is on Sunday. Make your early reservations for restaurants early. Well, they're always busy Sunday anyway. But it's Sunday. So I got a special sermon I'm going to preach on Sunday on love. So plan on that. You want a head start? I'll give you a hint. Here's homework. Go read this book of Song of Solomon. All right? Be careful. You know, especially if you've got teenagers, don't let them read it yet. You know, but go read the book of Song of Solomon. Husbands, love your wives as Christ the church and gave himself up for it. Why don't you circle both, all of that, or one of that, or both of them? Christ loved the church. Christ died for the church, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything, that she might be holy and without blemish. He loved and he died for the church. A price to pay. Now I want to ask you, if Christ loved the church, what should we do? If Christ loved the church, what should we do? Should it be DMV? I had to go. It's Sunday, and now I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you. Drag your kids to church, okay? Make them go. I'll give you a little hint. If you wait till they're teenagers and then you're dealing with trouble, it's a little body on board with that one. You got to get them when they're young, okay? Drag your kids to church. We got great children's programs. I really like our children's church right now. An awesome opportunity for our kids. They can learn on their level, not sitting here trying to figure out what this crazy guy up here is talking, but they can go hear somebody on their level. Children's church, nursery, preschool. But it's part of who we are. Do we love the church, or do we love it like a restaurant? Well, as long as the pastor preaches sermons I like. Now, when I was growing up, we talked about, when I was going to church in the 70s, we talked about wearing steel-toed shoes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you'd go to church and the pastor was going to step on your toes. Anybody remember those days, or just me? Am I that old? You guys are sitting there like a deer in the headlights. Do we go to church? Well, it's going to tickle my ears. The Bible talked about that somewhere. Be careful. Or do we go that you love it? I love going to church. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to go. Like I said, I've been everywhere, and I go to church. It's fun. I meet other people that we might not have a lot in common. We got some things in common because I know Jesus, and they do too. They love Jesus. I love Jesus. Let's love Jesus together. See, and that's what church is all about, and that's what we do. Do we? He died for the church. How do you treat the church? Now, what I want to do this morning is I kind of take this step, because it doesn't always go smooth. There's trouble. For those who don't know my journey, the first church I pastored after seminary, I lasted 18 months. I resigned. It was a tough time. I had somebody in the church that wanted to be the head of the church. He wanted to be the head of the, he got to be the head of the church. What's fun for me? Well, kind of say fun, because that kind of sounds like yes, but it wasn't. Yeah. He got to be the head of the church after I left. He lasted 5 months and then moved on himself after he ran me off. Anybody, what do we do when that happens? I could have been cold and indifferent. Forget it now. I'm not going to pastor anymore after all that. I don't want to put up with that kind of garbage. But I love church. I love getting here. I love praying for you guys. I love life with you guys. It's fun. It's enjoyable. I know about your families. I know about the joys that you have, birthday parties, anniversaries. I also know about the heartaches when somebody passes and the heartaches. I love church. How do you love the church? Or is it a restaurant? As long as it feels good, as long as I enjoy it, as long as they're feeding me something I like, Taco Bell, yeah. As long as I get Mexican food and not Italian food, we're okay. Do we ever treat church that way? So I want to talk about, how can I love my church? What I want to do this morning is I'm going to put some actions to love. All right? I want to give you some things. Now, here's what I want to make sure you understand. If you say you love the church, you got to learn to love the church. You hear me? You learn to love the church. When I was 10, 11, 12, 13, sitting there watching Lamb Chop on Sunday mornings, hoping my mom and dad would oversleep. That's what I'm serious. We'd get up and turn the TV on, my brother and I, and we'd just be real, we would tell, be quiet. Don't make any noise. Hoping our parents would oversleep so we didn't have to go to church. Now I'm at an age where I love church. What happened? I learned something. I experienced something. See, I want to tell you, you don't learn to love the church by just saying, I love the church. You learn to love the church when you begin to practice the church. That's when you begin to love the church. Ask those as you're sitting around, how many of you can look back on it and you go, involved, when I'm here, when people share, when I'm walking, when I'm talking, there's something about being here. Look at what God's word says. Now you are the body of Christ and individuals, members of it. See, we're the church. We're the local church. Yeah, I went to Fellowship Church, big church in Texas. I've been to little churches. But this is my church. I would rather be here than somewhere else. Are you here? You're part of this. It's who you are. You make it a special place because you're special. See, that's who we are. Look again at God's word. Look at what it says. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great first commandment. The second, like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what the church is all about. It's about loving God and loving one another. That's what church is all about. Now, that being said, is it always easy to love others? You guys are quiet. Do you get along with everyone? Why can't we all just get along? Can't we all just be friends? You know, are there some people you don't want to be friends with? I'm going to be honest. Yeah. How do we deal with this in church? Because there's going to be some people you like hanging with and some that okay to be around. Then you get with the pastor and you got to watch what you say and you really don't like hanging with him because it's really uncomfortable. Maybe Taco Bell so you won't go out to dinner with him. How do we deal with this? I'm going to have some fun with these sermons in the next few weeks. But this morning, how do you love the church? Four quick things. Now, I'm going to go with these real quick, so you have to buckle up your seatbelt, get ready. If you're going to love the church, I'm going to tell you, this is what you have to do if you're going to love the church. Now, if you don't do these things, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. If you don't practice these four things, you will never love the church. Plain and simple. If you don't practice these four things, you will never love the church. All right? And again, I want to make sure as I talk about these, it doesn't have to be here. I want you here. I want to build this church, but I believe it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. This week, Dan and I, we met with the pastor across the street, Kevin, and we met with Paul from the church up the street. We got together and met. We might be doing, I'm excited because Paul says, we're going to do the movie War Room. And as we're talking, Paul says, you got a bigger screen. Why don't we do it at your church? So he bought the thing, and he's paid all the money and all the fees, and we're probably going to show the movie here, but he paid all the fees. I'm like, I'll go for that. Yeah, so we're going to show, I think it's Palm Sunday, we're going to show the movie War Room right here in our church, thanks to Paul at the Assembly of God Church down the road. It takes all kinds of churches, all right? Find yours, but here's the four things you got to do wherever it's at. I pray it's here, all right? I pray it's here. These are four things. Let me pray as we start this. Lord, I just thank you for your love, that you love the church, that you gave us the church, that you built the church. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the love that we have for you and for one another. Lord, I ask for that love to be real, that we can share our hearts and our minds, we can share our joys and our sorrows, that we can walk through life together with you as a body of believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, give us wisdom, give us knowledge as we learn to love you more dearly and to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Four things real quick. Hang on here. Love by connecting. You need to get connected. If you come and you sit and you sour, you're going to be sour, okay? Seriously, if you just come and you sit and you just hang around on the fringes, you will sour. You got to get connected to the church. You got to plug in to the church. You got to find some friends and some family to share with. I've shared this many times in this church. Many of you are closer than my own brothers and sisters. Now that my brothers are gone, you guys are than my brothers. This is my family. Martha, I can't figure out. Martha's been here since I came. I do not know. Now, Martha, I don't know which way you can take this. She's either my grandma or my mother. I don't know. That's what it feels like with Martha for me. You know? Really, she could be my mother in that age range. You know? Rhodes. You know? I'm not going to say anymore. I'll get myself in trouble with that one. Age can really get you in trouble, can't it, now that I'm older? But it's family, brothers and sisters, going out, hanging around with one another, going out for dinner, going to birthday parties together, connecting with others. If you want a church to be your church, you got to get connected. It's not enough to come and sit. Because I guarantee, if you just come and sit, you're going to sour. But you start plugging in, you start connecting. Why do you think I talk about small groups all the time? I enjoy my small group. I can't wait. We're in the middle of Philippians right now. We're going to chapter 2, right? Those are going. I think we're starting chapter 2 in Philippians. And I love that group because we're going to do our study. And guess what we do when we finish the study? We got 6 more weeks to go, I think, maybe 7. We're going to go out for dinner. Yeah. Yeah. We do our study. We go out. I have another group. We do our study. We have potluck. I bring the tortillas and salsa. That's my potluck ingredients. Because we hang around. Get a small group. Get a group of people. I'm excited. We got a small group on Thursday morning. That's not a small group anymore. There's like 16, 17 people going to Thursday morning. See, it's not enough. Just, I'm here on Sunday morning. That's not enough. It will never be your church. You won't feel like it. You got to learn to love the church. And you do that when you connect. Look at what it says. Now you are no longer strangers. Don't be a stranger to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong to God's household with every other Christian. See, that's when the church becomes yours. That's when you really love the church. I enjoy visiting these other churches, but you know what? They're not my church. It's fun. I enjoy Young Preach. You know, I've heard Andy Stanley preach. I heard Johnny Hunt preach. I've heard great preachers. I feel bad for you guys. You got to put up with me. You know, I hear all these great preachers. But there's nothing like my church. You know, I love those churches, but I love my church because I'm connected. I've connected on my heart level. I've been there with some who've celebrated. I've been there with the babies. So there's some kids now that I went to the hospital when they were born. Doctor's Hospital, on the backside of Doctor's Hospital. Marianne, remember I came and seen you when their babies were born. Now they're in their 20s, late 20s and 30s, right? Oh, man. Yeah. Some of you I went and seen when you were born. I've been sitting in the hospital and your mom was dealing with health issues with you. I love the church. I love being there, going out to your house. Invite me. I love cake. Graduation parties. Now I'm cheap. I'll bring a gift. My wife and I, we do our gifts is either a $5 Starbucks card, a $5 Jamba Juice card, and maybe if you're lucky, you might get a Cold Stone card. Yeah. I love going to parties. Get connected. Yeah. Now you know what I've said this, and I'm going to say this always. You need 3 things in your life to connect to. You need a church, a local church, a body of believers, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, you can listen to preachers. I listen to podcast preachers all the time. Call him, try to get him to visit you in the hospital. All right?
Yeah.
I enjoy Rick Warren, Andy Stanley. If I call him and say, hey, I'm in the hospital, can you come and see? He ain't going to come and see me. I mean, that's a long trip from Atlanta to here. You need a local church. You need a group that 8 to 12 people that you're sharing life with. That can really know your heart and your battles and your joys. And then you also need that one person, at least one person, who can look you in the eye and say, you know what, you're being a jerk. You do. You need those three. You need somebody who can tell you, you know, you're making a bad decision there. You need to stop and think about that. Now, I don't think everybody should have that permission. You know, I get aggravated when somebody says, well, God gave me the gift of discernment. I get aggravated with that. I earned the right to speak into people's lives. I was out visiting yesterday. I've been here long enough, 32 years. I tell these teenage kids that were teenagers when I came to Salida and kids that have grown up in this church, I make no bones about this. I've known you so long, I tell you, you should be in church. I ain't going to invite you. You know where you should be. You know, I feel I've earned that right. You know, I told somebody that yesterday. You to be in church. I've known you all these years. You know where you need to be. Now, not everybody has that. I'm the pastor. I'll look in here and tell you guys, you know what? You need to be here next Sunday. See? But we need that permission. You need a local church. You need a small group. And you need somebody who can look you in the eye and say, you're making a really bad decision there. Now, not everybody can say that. You know, you got some, I'm going to tell you, you know, some of you guys, anybody here married? Isn't it really hard when your wife looks at you and tells you you're making a bad decision? It's like, I don't want to hear it. Not from my wife. You know, other people can tell me that, but my wife? It depends on who can tell you that, right? They need to earn that. We're going to talk about being hurt in the church. I'm going to talk about that as I talk about being hurt in the church. You need to get connected. Look at what it says. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoice together. See, we're there. We're walking with one another through the good, the bad. We're there. That's what church is about. But you got to get connected. Don't just sit and sour, okay? Get connected. There's small groups. If you need a small group, talk to me. Talk to Dan. Talk to some others in this church that have small groups meeting in their homes. If you want a small group in your home, let me know, and I'll work with you to get it going. We have the material. And then find somebody that you're willing to put your life in their hands and say, you know what? When I mess up, you can tell me I'm really being a jerk. And give somebody that permission. Get connected. Number two, love serving. Love by serving. You got to get involved. You got to serve. Jesus served. Jesus came and he gave his life. He died for the church. He healed the lame. He healed the lame. He brought sight to the blind. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. Jesus served. He washed his disciples' feet. Jesus served. We need to serve. We need to get involved and serve. Be a part. In. Not just connected on a tangent level. All right? We need to be a part. I'm going to tell you, every one of you are missing a blessing on Thursday night. What happens Thursday night? Anybody know what happens Thursday night here? What happens? Awana meets Thursday night. I'm going to tell you, it is a blessing to see these kids quote scriptures and be a part of what God is doing. It is fun to see the kids excited about being here. Can't wait to get here. Get involved. You know, Vacation Bible School is coming. Get involved. Be a part. It was great. I took my daughter all around. I got stories. If anybody want to talk about stories, I'm glad to be in California, but there's stories about the South, all right? I can tell them. Yeah. But my daughter's talking about being raised in the church and laying under the pews on Wednesday night and Sunday night and being raised in church. Bring the kids. We need helpers in the children's department. You got to get, I'm going to tell you, every leader in our church, I expect every leader to get background check, but especially when you work with our children, we want to have a statement. And we do background checks here. But we want you to work in our nursery and our children's rooms this morning. Take a little break and help in the nursery. Especially if you have a kid. And if you're a grandparent, go in there and love on the kids. Enjoy the kids. Have fun with the kids. But plug in. Find something. Plug into a small group. Serve. Get involved. Look at what it says here. God has given each of you, I like that, each of you a gift from his great spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another, not yourself. See, that's church. Serve others. Give of yourself. Share. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, and yet the same Lord is served. Just as a quick note, I don't have the gift of singing. So that one, we don't all have the same gifts. All right? There are different types of, let me turn the page, work to do. same God produces every gift in every way, in every person. The evidence of the Spirit's presence is given to each person for the common good of everyone. I like Awana. Now, just so you know, the littler kids, I appreciate those who can take those little kids. All right? I've been doing the junior high. I'm giving my junior hires away now. Somebody else can have the fun with the junior high. I'm going to go help somebody else. But you get too small, that ain't for me. I don't have that gift. You know? Little snotty-nosed things running around. They're easy to love from a distance, okay? You know, they're great. I'm going to tell you, they're awesome kids. You watch the kids on Awana night as they march out with a rope, and it's fun, but that's not my gift. We're all gifted different. We have different likes. See, find your place, plug in, be a part, see what God can do. Let me go on. I got to hurry here. Second one is love by giving. Oh, this one will go real quick. Love by giving. Now, I'm going to talk about money, but I want to tell you something. You're going to go to a restaurant this afternoon, and guess what they want from you? They're going to want your money. Am I right? Yeah. I'm going to go to Taco Bell. Guess what they're going to want? You think they're going to give me food? I know Julia. Maybe Julia be working. Grew up here in the church. She works there at Taco Bell. Julia, give me my stuff. You think she'll just give it to me, or you think Taco Bell wants some of my money? Yeah. DMV, what are they going to want from me? Money, and lots of it. Those registration fees are ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you. Yes, we want your financial resources. God's blessed you, and we want you to bless back. But I tell you what, I've been so blessed in this church, I hardly ever preach on money. Because this is a generous church. I haven't had to sit down and we did our building campaign to build this building, and we had 100, and we raised $260,000 in a 3-year pledge. Statistically, we were in the top 2-3% of churches who could do that. God blesses. This church is blessed. I don't need to. You guys are generous people. God has blessed. Now, just so you know, God says give 10%. I believe in the tithe. I probably the last 15 years, I have gave more than my tithe. I don't even think about it. Just so you know. And I feel as a pastor, I haven't had to preach it because you guys are doing it. We don't have to worry about it. So I just want to encourage you, continue to be generous. What more can I say? Continue to let God bless you and you bless God's ministry. We give because God has given to us. Look at what it says here. Oh, forgot to turn my page, didn't I? I'm right where I need to be. You must each decide in your heart. Now, you like that. You might underline that. You decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You want to know what it really says in the Greek? It says gives hilariously. Yeah. Blessed. Okay. And I'm not going to harp on this. God has blessed this church, and God has blessed you, and I pray he continues to bless you. But I'm going to encourage you, if you're generous, continue to give. If you're not giving, join some of the others. And let God bless. Let God see what he can pour out, open the windows of heaven and pour out upon your life. That we give. When you give, there's something going on, isn't there? It becomes your church. Because, you ever hear anybody say, put your money where you're... Okay. So I encourage you to give. How about the last one? You love by sharing. You love by sharing. Sharing beyond the walls of the church. Sharing your life, your heart, being a part. Look at what it says. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. By this, all people know you are my disciples if you love one another. You share. You give. You share. You share your love. You share your heart. You share your life. But here's the challenge. And this is where the series is going to go. When you open your heart up, sometimes it gets hurt. Sometimes pastors say things. Churches do things. I pray that. I pray. You know how much I pray. Especially when I read Facebook. It's like, I want a poster. Can I say something, God? God says no. Anybody? My wife and I have a joke sometimes. I hate to give it away because then it's bad. You know, my wife will look at when we're somewhere and we're talking with someone and I want to say something or she wants to say, we'll look at one another and we'll go like this. The word is this. I'm biting my tongue and I'm bleeding. I want to say something, but I'm not going to say it. We get in those positions. When you open your heart up and you love, it's going to hurt sometimes. But we need to realize it's all about God. It's not about them. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally, things get said and things get done. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to spend some time with that in the next few weeks. But right now, I just want to ask you, do you love the church? Do you love the church? And maybe it's not this church, and maybe you haven't found the place yet, but I just want to encourage you, do you love the church? When you find the one for you, get connected. Get connected and serve and give and share. Learn to love the church. I love this place. You know, this is my church. I look at this. I've been here 32 years. I have blood, sweat, and tears in this church. Isn't that a song term? I have blood, sweat, and tears. I have bled for this church. Building this place, yeah. How many of you bled setting chairs up when we were in the school? Anybody ever cut your finger? We've all bled, sweat, and tears for this church, but it's, do we love the church? I want to challenge you to love the church. If it's not this one, find one you can plug into. But love the church. Get connected. Connect to the church. Connect to a small group. Connect to someone who can walk with you through life. Serve, plug in, find a place that God has gifted and equipped you that you can serve and make it yours. And then give, share with what God has blessed you. And then share your heart and your life, knowing that sometimes it's going to hurt. You know, it's real interesting. I was listening to the radio last night, yesterday. Laura and I were running around making some visits, and they had this statement. They're talking about marriage, and they went like this. People who have happy marriages are happy 75% of the time. Now think about that. People who have happy marriages are happy 75% of the time. Because they say if you expect to be happy 100% of the time, it's not going to happen. But if you're happy 75% of the time, you have a successful marriage. I think, what about the church? I love my wife, but sometimes, anybody? Yeah. You ever have this kind of discussion after church? We're going out to eat. Where do you want to go? Oh, it doesn't matter. Well, let's go to... I'm getting looked at. Let's go to Perko's. Let's have some up at Perko. Let's not go. Well, you said you didn't care. Well, how about let's go to Olive Garden? Well, I don't feel like Italian. Well, you said you didn't care. Anybody ever have that discussion? Or is that just 25% of the time? I want to encourage you. Can you find a church you can be happy in 75% of the time? I can connect and you can share. And you can serve, and you can give. Look at what it says here at the last verse. And now this word to all of you. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. I like that. Tender hearts and humble minds. It's not about us. Do you love the church? It begins when you love God, and then you start loving one another. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you love us so much. You've given us the church. It's not a have-to place. It's a place of joy and peace, and sometimes our battles. But it's your place. Help us love the church. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Maybe you've been hurt by church, wrestling with some things. Maybe you're trying to find a church. And again, I don't know if this is your church or not. Maybe you just want me to pray for you about church. Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you know, it's so easy to get hurt. So easy to get lost as we try to figure out where you want us as a church to be and what church you want us to be a part of. Lord, help us love as you've loved it. That you gave your life for it. That it's not a convenient place that we go just when it's convenient. It's not a place that we go just because we like it. But it's a place that we go because we love it. Lord, help us love your church by loving one another. In Jesus' name, amen.